Coming to you live from the weird side of the Nerdverse, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Heather.
And we're here for your listening confusion. Join us bi-weekly as we go off on tangents about some of our favorite things.
Like movies, TV shows, games, random weird stuff, books, awesome podcasts we love, and pretty much whatever else strikes our fancy.
Live on Facebook, we are live on Twitch, we are not live on YouTube. And the biggest reason for that's just because, unfortunately, Heather is out today. She had some personal things that she had to take care of on Friday. She's going to be out for a week or two. But we do have a fantastic guest host on today, Maddie, who is our COO at Tech Neighbors. And she has no idea what she's agreed or signed up to do today. So we're going to surprise her. She sent in a couple
totally
of
none.
I know, right? So if for those of you who are watching, she doesn't even know what the title of this episode is. It's 2020 Cheese Pirates. And we'll kind of lead into that topic. Oh. Yeah, 2020 Cheese Pirates. So we're going to lead into that topic here in just a minute. There's been some really interesting things about 2020. It's been kind of a fever year of a dream, if I'm honest, though. From starting out with this COVID quarantine crap, now Ebola's come back, killer hornets, protesting, rioting, and for those of you who have seen our original streams, we're already back to the word absolutely. It's fantastic. So we're going to go ahead and move forward. Before we do, Maddie, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, give a little information?
I mean, what do they want to know? Because I'm in a fish and all right, I'm Madison. If my mother's watching this, hi.
Hi,
I've been
Mom.
The CEO at Tech Neighbors for about 9 months now. Nine months to a year.
It's been a year now. We are coming up on Tech Neighbors 1 year birthday on June 19th.
Right.
Yeah, Father's Day.
Shoot, June 19th. Right, yeah. It started on Father's Day.
Fun story for you, while she is giggling herself to pieces, Maddie actually was the one who approached me and said, hey, I'm going to be a part of this, back when it was all kind of coming together. When Tech Neighbors was first really starting and we were first really kind of talking about doing it, it was me and then I told everyone I knew, try and generate some interest, and had a couple of meetings. His parties at my apartment, and she came over, heard about it, and walked up to me after one where I was telling everyone a little bit about what I was doing, and she goes, hey, this, I'm a part of it. Okay. She goes, no, you don't understand. I'm doing this too, whether you like it or not.
I was like, right. Okay, cool. You asked my friends before me, and I got upset. I was like, why didn't he ask me to be a part of it? And they're like, I don't know. Why don't you ask him about it? So I told them I had to do it.
You didn't ask anything. You just walked up and said, hey, I'm doing this. She's out of everyone else that was there, she's the only one still here, so she's still doing it. So she has a lot of wonderful insight and a lot of knowledge. I guess I'll go ahead and do the introduction on you. She's got some fantastic experience with fish. At Tech Neighbors, we are actually looking at doing some automation with some organic life and biological life, both botanical and aquatic. Yeah, that's the word, and aquatic. Possibly even some agricultural in the future. Go Aggies. So we're going
go
to
Aggies.
Hey, you're gonna be one. It's happening, right?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
So tonight we're gonna be talking about a few different topics. So some changes have happened with the podcast. If this is your first time, this is just gonna be your first overview of what the podcast is now. And for those of you who have listened to this or are tuning into the live stream and have in the past, essentially, we had started with IT and Me and Into the Nerdverse as two segments. And that was great. Until it wasn't, which was always. So we basically have dropped Into the Nerdverse entirely. or not Into the Nerdverse, excuse me, we've dropped IT and Me entirely as a separate podcast, like where we do an Into the Nerdverse 1 week, IT and Me the next week. Now it's all Into the Nerdverse. It's all Into the Nerdverse. I'm throwing crap all over my desk. It's all Into the Nerdverse. And during the Into the Nerdverse podcast, we're going to give you some tech news, tips, tricks, or some stories about something that's happened to either some of the people that are on as guests or your hosts, me and Heather. So we're going to start out today kind of talking about, and I know this has kind of been beaten to death, but there's some really interesting information going on about what's been happening in the world recently. And I am convinced this is a fever dream.
Yep.
Perfect example. All the writing that's going on. Yeah, right. Whoever's messing with our sim life up there needs to stop. But whoever's been doing all this during all the rioting, the protesting, all of the COVID, the quarantine, there's been some really weird side effects, including cheese pirates. This is an actual thing that has happened in Wisconsin. 20,000 pounds of cheese has been stolen by cheese pirates. That's a thing.
Or is it that it's its own thing.
They have nothing to do with the riots. They have nothing to do with the protesting. It's just cheese pirates. It's people either.
Okay, so what did they do? They just.
Well, if I can find the right tab. Cheese pirates steal 20,000 pounds of cheese in Wisconsin. A truck carrying 20,000 pounds of cheese was reported stolen in Oak Creek, Wisconsin on Friday. Authorities confirmed that the semi-truck was stolen from a parking lot storage area early in the morning. The truck contained an estimated $46,000 worth of cheese. The worst part, this isn't the first incident of stolen cheese in the area.
The cheese pirates are back at it again. Vince Christian of Wisconsin Cheese Mart.
God damn it. God damn cheese pirates.
My favorite thing about Wisconsin, because most of my family's from there, I'm actually named after Madison, Wisconsin. It's its own little world. It's a very strange place to be because the people are. I don't even know how to describe them, you know? Because I walked into my grandpa owns a little. There. It's weird because even the criminals are not kind of nice, you know.
They are. It's
even
really
the criminals
weird.
Are willing to hug you.
It's really, really weird.
It's kind of the opposite of Florida, isn't it? Because it's even in Florida, even the nice ones were willing to stab you, but
or throw alligators at you. One of the two. You know, you never know. You never know what you're going to get when you go to Florida. In Wisconsin, you know that whatever they're doing to you, they're going to be really nice about it, eh? It's like Southern Canada. I've got a friend of mine that lives in Wisconsin, and I told him...
Canada.
He's not legally allowed to be called an American anymore. He's a Southern Canadian. That is the law now. He cannot be American. He's Southern Canadian. So, man, I guess somebody really needed some cheese.
It's amazing to think about. Well, no, I guess they're saying because it's so valuable that people are willing to just take it off to resell it.
Cheese.
Because it's $50,000 worth of cheese they took.
Okay, but here's the deal. One of those American singles pack is like $1.20, $2. Right?
But they're not taking American sing. That's not Wisconsin. Well, that's not what Wisconsin's about. The cheese is like legitimate aged cheese. Like things that can't just go through a fucking machine and be replaced. They worked on this for years.
Listen, man, this is some really expensive.
Let's find some.
Oh man.
I'll look up the I can see Billy. Let's
thieves steal truck with $49,000 worth of cheese.
I'm gonna look up how much.
How do you sell cheese on the black market? That's my question. Like, is there like a bazaar that you go to and you're like, hey, you want some cheese?
Well, I mean,
I got the good. Come with me in the truck. I'll give you the 5-finger discount. Cheese. It's cheese. Come on, man. Like.
That's what they wanted.
Wisconsinites, the only thing they'll steal, cheese. I love it.
Actually, let me see what the worst crime in Wisconsin is.
Murder, I would guess.
10 most dangerous cities in Wisconsin. That's not what I wanted. My mom's gonna love this one.
That's fantastic.
Oh, Milwaukee, Wisconsin is the 6th most dangerous city.
As opposed to what, Chicago? Like Chicago? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, what's our scale here? How are we scaling the dangers of cities in Wisconsin?
Well, apparently 108 people have been murdered in that city. Oh, in 2017, 118 people were murdered.
Oh man. Like, don't get me wrong, murder's wrong, but let's take a look at New York. Or was it which city was it that during the quarantine, the mayor actually said, hey, could y'all stop killing each other just long enough for the quarantine to finish? Was that?
Let's compare it to 2017.
Yeah, let's
see. Houston.
In Houston?
In Houston.
Houston, Texas, murder count.
Oh.
2017.
269, just down from 302 during the previous year.
Hey man, we're on the right path at least. So 269 people in a city. Now here's the deal, is that Houston proper or is that Houston metropolitan? Because Houston metropolitan goes down to, like, we could argue League City, Katy, even some, I don't know why, but some count Beaumont as part of Houston, which I never understood.
I know, I'm thinking this may not be a fair comparison to
no.
Milwaukee. How big is Milwaukee compared to Houston though? Because there's how many millions of people? All right, Chicago saw a 16% decline in murders in 2017 from the previous 650 murders in 2017, yeah, a drop from 771 murders in 2016, which has been the deadliest year in nearly two decades.
Look.
Which is amazing, considering Chicago was one of the fastest to stop the... quick to stop the riots in.
Well, not only that, you know, those gun control laws seem to be helping. Sorry, I know. We're not political, but being from Texas, a little biased. All right, so kind of moving forward, some of the other byproducts of this whole COVID lockdown. So we talked about cheese pirates, we just opened up with that. One of the things that I've actually started kind of looking into and I've talked about in past podcasts is getting into esports. Kind of for fun. There's some tournaments that you can do, games like Fortnite, Apex Legends, and Overwatch, League of Legends, different games like that. What's really interesting, but not surprising, is that the popularity of online gaming, Twitch streaming, esports during the COVID stuff has increased dramatically. Like, it has gone up. The 2020 global games market is estimated to be $77.2 billion industry as a whole. That's insane. And you know what the really bad part was? That was the estimate as of last year. The new forecast is $159 billion. Okay, now let's put that in perspective. That's four times the revenue of 2019. 2019, the revenue from the global games market was $43 billion. Mm-hmm. That is how much it's increased just within, 3 months? 6 months? No, 3 months. 4 months.
Well, I'm looking at the professional tournaments that earned teams and players over $100 million by June 2017, with half of that being awarded at international tournaments.
And the really cool part about those is
crap.
A lot of those, you don't actually have to go anywhere. You can play from your computer, especially with all the COVID stuff going on. Apex Legends and Fortnite have been doing that. And one of the things that I've talked about before, as far as Fortnite goes, they actually host their own gaming where they do their own payouts within the game. And they do like weekly tournaments where you can make you can play and earn money. Now, it's not a lot, a couple hundred bucks, but it's a couple hundred bucks for playing video games.
I mean, and some people play for hours without getting paid, so
yeah.
Now is this what you've been trying to get into?
A little bit, kind of, sort of, yeah, with Apex Legends specifically. Okay. Yeah, it's been kind of fun. I play it mostly for fun, but we also kind of take it a little bit seriously here and there. The other cool thing that we've seen too is a dramatic increase in Twitch streams. So, and here's the thing when it comes to like online gaming, right? Esports in general. One of the big areas that esports differs from regular sports, and even in reality, it's really not that different. Esports doesn't really make their money. The players don't make their money from winning tournaments. They make their money from getting their names known and live streaming on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Mixer and other platforms. So, perfect example, Twitch has gone up from about 900 million hours watched in the first quarter of this year. In the second quarter, from February of 2020, in 1 month, it went from 900 million up to 1.2 billion, which is an increase of about 300 million wow. hours watched. That's a substantial number of people that have increased their viewing on Twitch. And that's where a lot of these people make their money, is advertisements and live streaming on Twitch, which is kind of cool.
I mean, I think you could say that for anything, like things like YouTube and mm-hmm. a lot of OnlyFans, things like Patreon, things like that, where people are, instead of, no, I mean, those aren't, those aren't all they are. That's just, I mean, if you've seen, there's actually a rise in recent years, say, especially since the quarantine,
oh, yeah.
people losing their jobs have mm-hmm. actually turned into doing stuff like that to make most of their income. And you find that people, you know.
No, I just love how that you mentioned
OnlyFans. I don't know if it'd be
the one that got me.
No, because it's become a trend, actually, if you're looking, if you're into more of the YouTube culture and stuff like that, they've actually come to, and this has to do a lot more, I think also with Twitch, people aren't using YouTube anymore because of their new rules and policies and things like that. They're pushing a lot of their content creators off of the platform and onto things like OnlyFans, Patreon, Twitch, streaming, you know, with less. I think Twitch is pretty strict, but
Twitch isn't really that strict. It depends
with
on what
less
we're talking
restrictions.
About. Twitch is actually a lot less restrictive than YouTube, as far as content, unless you're talking about, like, you know, no nudity. There is no nudity. That's pretty much where they draw the line. And no gore, obviously. No, like, real gore. If you're doing video game gore, that's one thing. They're not nearly as, like, strict on, you know, content as what's been said as far as, like, political stuff. But that may change as trends continue to change and move forward. Mm-hmm. Just due to the fact that...
And who knows, there could be another platform that comes out here soon.
Honestly, that'd be really cool.
Quite like YouTube.
I'd like to see
something. I've been hoping that someone buys YouTube or YouTube changes.
That won't ever happen. Like, Google owns YouTube now.
I mean, like...
I know.
But I mean, someone created something similar, at least.
There are other platforms that exist, like not Venmo, the paid app, not like the Cash App, but Venmo or Venmo. I don't know how to say it. There's another YouTube-like application that starts with a V. It's very similar. But you actually led us right into our next topic too, and that's talking a little bit about the censorship stuff that's going on. So, with YouTube restricting their censorship and things like that.
I got a lot of opinions on that.
Well, we, and Heather and I kind of went over this a little bit already, so it's okay. We hate Facebook and we hate censorship in general. Within reason. I mean, obviously, if you've got, like, a site that's got, you know, targeting kids and families like YouTube, yeah, things like nudity, having people's heads cut off, leave that for 4chan. All right, you know.
But
if you want porn,
that's where the issue... That's where the issue really is with all of this. Because if you look into... I'm very into, like, the in-depth part of, like, into the conversations on any of the YouTube videos. Sorry, that came out really stupid. Yeah, within the cultures of different YouTube channels, majority of the rules that are becoming, that are input, are because they're worried about what children are going to see.
Oh,
even
yeah.
YouTube's channels, even platforms that have not been initiated as a child's website are now being taken over and going, okay, we gotta bring this back down for kids.
Right.
That's what YouTube is doing with a lot of, if you see any channel that is too colorful or too childlike, their comments get shut off. They're immediately demonetized because they're promoting for children. TikTok, where a lot of people are very vulgar.
So that's like
and,
most of gaming like, right there.
Yeah. And yeah, well...
I mean, seriously. I keep thinking of games.
But pretty
like
much Gears all the comments are like, yeah. And you post things on there and they'll go, oh, you shouldn't have said this because what if a kid sees it?
Well, then the kid shouldn't be watching it. It's marked explicit for a reason. You have to be on an account that's marked as 18 and up if you want to watch it. And if parents, and this is coming from someone who doesn't have kids, so take it with a huge rock full of salt. But as far as where, when I was growing up, yeah, there's ways you can get around it. Kids can get around the verifying age and all that. However, parents need to be more involved in their kids' lives. I know that's asking a lot, but talk to your kids. Spend more time with them. We went through this with drugs back in the 90s. Let's do it with sex now in the 2000s. But one of the big things that's really caught kind of my attention is sites like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're taking down all these posts and then they're calling each other out on it. Mark Zuckerberg earlier this year condemned on national television Twitter for taking down and restricting certain posts based off of political affiliation, and then turns around and sees Facebook doing exactly the same thing. We saw the same thing when we were talking about the quote-unquote misinformation from COVID. Well, if you start asking questions about what's going on with the virus and all that, you're a conspiracy theorist and spreading misinformation. Yeah, but we have someone who's got like 40 years of experience telling us, no, it's misinformation. So there's just a lot of questions that it brings up as to how far are we going to let this go and what are our alternatives?
And see,
mm-hmm.
This is really good because I believe a lot of people are willing to give up their privacy and things like that.
Yeah, for security.
How do I explain this?
As Benjamin Franklin said it, who give up their privacy and for security will receive and deserve neither. If you're willing to give up your rights in order to secure your freedoms or in order to secure your safety, you won't get either of them. We've seen that thousands and thousands of years back. People who were tricked in, that's exactly how the Spaniards conquered South America.
And it's like, it's the same with anything. If you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And I've seen with the COVID tracking apps that Apple and Google are doing, where does that draw the line? And people are going to start accepting things like that. And then what? Then they're going to say, okay, now we're going to put your actual name and everything on there. And I don't think they realize how much damage that could do.
That's already happened.
Because especially if people are looking for, if you got an ex or something you're trying to stay away from, they have now exposed your location because the default app is on. The app is default set on there. You have to go in and then turn it off, but they're not announcing that they're doing this to you.
Nope. In fact, just to add to that, Google, there have been people who have come out saying, hey, if you've got a phone with Google Maps on it, so if you have a phone, or Apple Maps, you need to turn on airplane mode if you go protest. There have been warrants issued from people who they confirmed were at riots and protests. Not even riots, just protests. If you're in a protest, you've been tracked there.
Sanity.
Are you kidding me? What point do we say
and
enough
that's why
is enough?
They're...
At what point do you say that our privacy means more than, I support the protests. I do not support the rioting or the looting. But what happened to George Floyd, people like George Floyd, people like Daniel Shaver, that's unacceptable. And their names need to be commemorated for what's gone on. Not necessarily, immortalized, but we need to make people aware of what's going on. And when we're going out and trying to do that, and now...
The only comment I have on the riots and everything is maybe look into the women's suffrage movement and how what happened to that.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Bring up a very good point.
I'm just saying, you'd be surprised how many riots were fought for the name of justice and how many times they won because they did so.
Well, the problem with the riots is the riots are destroying the very thing they're trying to protect. Now,
I think they're not rioting in the right location.
If I would not condone rioting, However,
ride on enemy territory.
Yeah, don't destroy public business to try and promote, you know, the safety of public people. That's kind of counterproductive. I cannot say that on the air because this will get taken down. But there's so much to be said there. But back to kind of the technology side of it. If you are participating in any protests, turn your phone on airplane mode. Turn off Google Maps. Leave your phone at home in your car. Leave it far away. Get a burner phone, something.
Wear something to cover your face because they're tracking facial. They're doing facial recognition too.
Traffic cameras have
facial recognition. Cover your nose, your mouth, or your eyes.
Well, you need to do your eyes too, yeah.
Because they're tracking eyes and the mouth, and they're tracking from those points. So cover your eyes or cover your mouth and nose.
Yep, and guess where the information came from, where all the trial data came from for facial recognition software in the modern age? You'll never believe it.
I'm going to say Apple or Google.
Neither.
Or BlackBerry. I'm just going to throw BlackBerry in. Maybe BlackBerry.
Snapchat. The Snapchat facial recognition. When they did all
that,
the,
makes sense.
That's where, that was one of the things that they sold that technology to several governments or several other companies to help develop their facial recognition technology for security.
That's definitely a double edged.
It's a double edged sword. Technology
at the same time that it helps us solve crimes, mm-hmm. it also really damages some things, you know, because.
You should watch The Minority Report with Tom Cruise. That is the perfect example of taking it too far.
We have to
determine where our Minority Report starts and where it stops. We're very quickly approaching a point in time in which they were already talking about thought police back in, what was it, 2012? We're already heading towards that direction. We're already trying to predict pre-crimes. That's a thing. Where do we say this is enough? But without getting into the political side, just make sure you're staying safe out there. kind of talking a little bit more about Mark Zuckerberg, though. This is a direct quote from his page, from his personal page. "We're going to review our policies allowing discussion and threats of state use of force to see if there are any amendments we should adopt. There are two specific situations under this policy we're going to review. The first is around the instances of excessive police or state force. Given the sensitive history in the U.S., this deserves special consideration. The second case is around when a country has ongoing civil unrest or violent conflicts." Which seems to be a very fancy way of saying, hey, we may end up doing a lot more censoring to protect everyone. Which is another one of those double-edged swords. It's the restriction of the passing of information, but some of that information that's passed could also be going to people with less than positive intentions.
Intentions?
Yeah.
So doing that really won't protect what they think they're going to protect, because of course the criminals are just going to show back into a deeper part of the internet and hide their crimes just a little bit more. The ones who really want to do it. And the other ones are just going to take it off the internet.
I don't think that's what they're talking about.
So what you're saying is trying to make sure no one's doing criminal activity. They're making sure no one's seeing any content they're not supposed to. What I'm saying is they're like Reddit. Let's take Reddit for example. A lot of things you can't find, you will be able to find for a limited amount of time on Reddit.
Or 4chan. Yeah. By the way, if you go to
Kiwi Farms, things like that.
Anyone who ever listens to this, if you go to 4chan, do so at your own risk. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not a site you want to be on.
There's gore websites, things like that. So what I'm saying is they can censor all they want, mm-hmm. but the crime is still going to be committed. So you're basically just forcing the innocent population to be watched at every waking moment.
But see, here's the deal.
But what?
We're not asking the right questions. Who's the criminal they're trying to track? Who is the criminal? For the most part,
it's not just criminal activity. It's more so control, I would say.
Who's rising up against the state? Who's rising up against those who are in control? Who's rising up against the government authorities or anything like that? And I don't want this to turn into anything, you know. But we need to stop asking ourselves, you know, who. We need to stop asking where are the criminals and start asking who are the criminals. That's the question that needs to be asked right now in 2020. Who is the real criminal here? And I think people are starting to finally realize that.
We
can't say it. Don't say it. Just because everyone knows it doesn't mean we need to say it.
Don't have to.
Right?
Don't have to.
It's really hard talking about this on a public platform, especially since we are currently live streaming this on Facebook. So this will be, people can watch this on our Facebook page.
Hi, Z. Z's here.
So, we have to be conscientious of what we say. There's a lot of things that are kind of, they're causing some very interesting upheaval that makes 2020 appear to be a very unique year. Because we basically condensed the last 80 years worth of internal conflict in the United States into one period of 6 months. Well, think about it. I mean, we've got our civil rights movement. We have a civil rights movement that is in full force. We have a
long time coming.
Absolutely.
It's all coming to a head.
We have a pandemic that we haven't seen since anything similar since 1920. We had an economic recession that almost turned into a depression, and we're still feeling the effects of it. I mean, it's just getting wild. What's next? Gangsters? Wait, we've got cheese pirates. There's our gangsters.
Don't forget the incoming of World War III.
Yeah, we almost had World War. I think that was a little bit of a jump of the gun. I don't think we ever got that close, but there was some kind of scares there or at the beginning of this year.
Maybe, but they made us stressed out about it. That's the problem. All we
like
can
I said, we've had 80 years worth of American internal conflict all just come to a head in 6 months, and the United States population is just kind of going, ooh. Look, man, I just want to get my chimichangas and go home. So, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how things turn out kind of moving into the future. But one of the companies that has profited the most throughout all of this, and not through anything like war profiteering or any illegal activities, just out of necessity, is Zoom. Their sales have been booming. The irony of which, a company like Microsoft with their program Skype has had 17 years to perfect something that Zoom did in about 6-7 years. So Zoom's obviously in the right path. There is a couple of things with Zoom that I think Zoom.
No, sorry. I was gonna say maybe I think Zoom had a little bit of a better head start than Skype did, considering the year it began, and probably the people who helped run it. I mean, we're surrounded by a generation of people who are learning computers a little bit better than the people who may have started Skype.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. We're talking about a generation that actually was like, hey, here's the beginning of the computer and Microsoft and Windows. And then Zoom just came in and was like, hey, middle fingers to the sky, we're taking over.
Yes, me.
And they basically did almost on accident. So, yeah, and the really cool part about Zoom, for anyone out there who's familiar with WebEx, WebEx is now a Cisco-owned product. The founder of Zoom, Eric Yuan, actually started WebEx in 2000. Or he started. No, he didn't start WebEx. He worked his way up through the ranks of WebEx. Excuse me. He started Zoom in 2011, which is kind of cool. So they've been around for 9 years. When the firm sold its first shares to the public in 2019, it was valued at $15 billion. In 2020, less than a year later, it's valued at $58 billion. So there's that.
Oh, wow.
No, you don't see that kind of an increase.
So they had a big help with the...
with the pandemic.
Had the big help with the schools and... yeah, but then they had that real hard hit with the data farming issue for a minute there. But it's kind of something you find in every company. I mean, Facebook, Google, they're all data farming. So.
Well, and one of the things too about what happened with Zoom and their data breach, I think they finally got away from the Chinese servers because of that. They've implemented a lot of really... excuse me. I got indigestion. They've had a lot of really... no promises. We are on a public platform, and I did just say Black Lives Matter, so... you never know. We've had a lot of increase... security features coming in with Zoom, new features like auditing people who come in, allowing them to come in, or blocking them, kicking them out, increased hashing and security. So they are taking steps.
Ridiculous.
Man, oh man. So has anybody, you mentioned this earlier, anyone ever wonder what happened to that NHS contact tracing app that everyone was supposed to get on all their phones? Well, turns out after the first trial of the app with very limited capabilities on the Isle of Wight, version 2 was also a complete flop. Turns out, it's still not working that great. They're still working out all the kinks, but it is eventually going to be coming. Keep tuned in to our Facebook page. We'll be kind of monitoring that and keeping an eye on when that's coming out. We'll keep our eye on the ball. That way we can make sure that when an update comes out and how to, you know, turn it off, we can tell you. Even if that means microwaving cell phones, you know, we'll figure out a way to turn it off and we'll let you know.
Please don't microwave your cell phone.
I mean, I might. You know, I've got a few spares laying around that I can, you know, do some testing with, but for the general public.
Do you have a spare kitchen?
I have a microwave.
For when you set the house on fire?
Maddie, I have a place outside that I can, you know, with an extension cord.
Don't tell me you have a microwave. Don't tell me you have a microwave outside like that's normal. Don't tell me you have a microwave outside of your home on an extension cord like that's a normal thing for people to do.
Yeah, it's in the carport. You just take it out into the yard and, you know, put stuff in it. Dude, there are so many science experiments.
That's not normal. That's not a normal thing.
Have you ever seen what happens to a battery when you put it in a microwave? It's kind of cool.
No. Because I like life.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't try that at home.
Living.
Hey, I'm still alive. I'm just missing a few fingers. I'm not missing any fingers. I'm still... I've got all the important ones.
My dad is.
What, missing a finger?
Yeah.
Since when?
He's missing a middle finger.
No, he's not.
Oh, I found out at Chick-fil-A when I was like 10. So 10 years?
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay. Say that one more time. Hold on. Story time with Maddie.
Okay, so my dad is a mechanic in the IndyCar industry, and there's something called a metal cutter. I don't know if that's the exact name, but it's basically a floor-to-ceiling machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and as soon as metal gets sucked, it pulls metal underneath it and immediately crushes the metal as soon as it makes contact. As soon as it feels the magnetic pull, it crushes. One of my dad's coworkers forgot to shut it down and lock it. And so my dad didn't know and was holding a car part in his hand and got pulled underneath it like that. And before he could let go, it crushed his middle finger. And then he pulled it instead of, it basically
So he ripped his own finger off.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so, kind of moving forward. Our ITNB segment. Now, I know we've talked a lot about technical stuff and blah, 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 and it's not quite as fun as some of our other Nerdverse episodes, but most of the information that we've talked about, I feel, is very important. As far as specific IT technical stuff, things to be on the lookout for, I think the biggest one that we need to talk about is going to be scammers, phishing attacks, what they are, how to avoid them, and why the sudden increase. So when we start talking about phishing attacks, we've talked about them before in the past, and I know a lot of you are probably rolling your eyes going, oh my god, not this again. But it's important, and it is a big problem. Give you a perfect example of one that I had the other day. I had a phone call that said, hello, you have been selected. Congratulations from Marriott Hotels. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't actually Marriott Hotels. But being me and liking to mess with scammers, I actually pressed 3 to go talk to an associate. I was in line, position 58. There were 57 other people ahead of me. How many of them got scammed? For how much money? So that's why I'm talking about this again, because that shit is happening a lot. I get phone calls. I got a phone call yesterday about my warranty on my car expiring, hung up. 5 seconds later, my mom's phone rang. This has got to stop.
It's creepy. There's another one going on where it's actually a foreign number that'll call you, and they don't say anything. But the second you pick up the phone, they're charging you.
Yep.
I don't know how that happens, but there's one person, she was on the phone call for 20 seconds saying hello, like hello, it was an old lady. Hello, hello, hello. They charged her $500. $500.
Yeah.
They took out of her account.
Those you can kind of fight.
Careful about answering.
Those you can.
Yeah, but you just don't want to have to.
No, no. And especially for some people who don't know how or whether or not they can, they'll just pay it and move on. So one of the things you can do is make sure that, one, you're only answering phone calls from numbers that you know about. Or, number two, one of the other things that you can do is, and this is going to sound kind of sketchy because I'm suggesting it, because it can be used the wrong way. You can pick up a second phone number on your phone using a third-party app, right? And only and give that number out to people who you like, you don't know, or like if you're filling out applications, or you can go to a website and randomly generate a phone number as well. That way, if you think, I really need to sign up for this, or I really want to, but I think they're going to sell my information, that is a good option as well. Hyundai sold mine.
Okay. That's
right. Thanks, Ron Carter. I don't know. So when you're doing the phone calls, make sure that when you answer phone calls from people you don't know, don't stay on the phone for too long, obviously. 1, 2, hello, no response, 3 seconds, and call. If someone says, hey, I'm from your bank, Discover, MasterCard, or Visa, hang up. If they say your car's warranty is expired, it probably hasn't, and you're fine. If they're calling to tell you that you've won a free vacation, guess what? You probably won a free iPad, and there's a prince in Algiers that really wants to give you $1 million. Add insult to injury.
And one thing, never say yes when they're gonna push you to answer yes questions.
Actually,
and then they can edit that to
really. Really? I've always heard just say yes.
I've always been told like if they start asking you like is this so and so, you're not supposed to say yes because they can edit it out to make it look like you gave consent to something you didn't. That's they fair. Need that yes to continue going.
That's fair.
So if you give that yes, they can now edit it to say, okay, yeah, she said yes to this phone call. We can, like, keep going. We can actually start, like, progressing with stuff. So you're supposed to answer vaguely. Like, is this so-and-so? Who is this? You know? But generally, you shouldn't be answering for things you don't, people you don't know. I have a general rule of if they don't call twice, they don't know me.
Oh, look, Mom.
My doctor would leave a voicemail.
See, that's the other thing I do, is also wait and see if they leave a voicemail. 9 times out of 10, if it's important enough for them to call you, they'll leave a voicemail. If they don't leave a voicemail, it must not have been that important. And sometimes they'll do leave a voicemail, so go listen to your voicemail. Make sure that's empty, checked, clean. I'll be honest, I like messing with phone scammers, but that's only because I'm an asshole. But I do have a couple of really fun stories about phone scammers. I'll go ahead and share one real quick. So my first job working in IT, like actually working in IT, was doing network security. I was a network security analyst for a company, and I was working the overnight shift. It was basically a call center. It was a glorified desktop support role. It was a glorified internet security role. as a call help desk. They'd call us, call center, and they'd call us and we'd talk to them. So our back office phone rang. Now, the only people who had the back office phone number were the employees. So I go and I answer it, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. It is late. Oh, I answer the phone and I'm, hello? And they're like, hello, yes, this is so-and-so from Microsoft. Or no, from Windows. He was from Windows. I'm calling from Windows. Your computer has a virus. We need to examine it. And I'm looking at this office full of computers like, I'm about to have some fun. So I said, all right, cool. Let's do this. So I'm on the phone with this
Which
guy.
Which one you need?
So I'm like, all right, let's do this. Which one? And he goes, I'm sorry? And I said, which one? You called an office. He goes, can you get to your boss's computer? And I went, sure, why not? Now, you have to understand, I've been doing computers for a couple of years at this point on the side for fun and as a kind of as a hobby, and I've been working here for a few months. So I would go to my computer, and I get on my computer, and I'm like, all right, let's see what this guy's doing. Let's see what this guy's doing. So then he's having me run these weird command prompt commands that don't mean anything but look scary if you don't know what you're looking at. Like, if there's a command that when you run it, it pulls up every piece of information about everything plugged into your computer and has a complete readout. Well, if you don't know what you're looking at, it's very intimidating. Even if you do, it's still kind of intimidating. And he's had me run all these ping tests and all this useless crap, and I'm going, okay, and it eventually comes to, I get another phone call on our customer line. So I said, hey, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. Put him on hold. I'm on the phone with this customer. They had an emergency situation. I was on the phone with them for almost 2 hours. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning now. Pick up the phone. Homeboy's still there.
Oh my God. Really?
Yes. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Talk about dedicated to the scam.
My man was going in for it full ham. So then he finally sends me, he says, okay, I want you to try type in this combination. And there's a code that you, there's a command that you can type in a command prompt at an elevated level. It's known as syskey, which is basically what it does is it deactivates your Windows system key. So every Windows licensing key is unique, and this command will disable it. And it sends a notification to Microsoft that says, hey, if someone tries to use this key, it is marked as, no, it doesn't exist. You delete it. It's fake. It's been compromised. Get rid of it. Boom. It's been built in since XP.
Okay.
I think it still works on Windows 10 as well. So he tells me to type it, and I'm like, okay, nothing's happening. He goes, what do you mean nothing's happening? Like, nothing's happening. He goes, you're not getting any error messages? Nope. He goes, hold on a minute. So he goes and gets his manager. And the manager comes over and goes,
okay, oh my God.
So you typed in the command. Yeah. And you hit enter. Yeah. He's like, okay, hold on a minute. So then they go get another manager, and the manager's
like, oh no.
Listen here, you little shit. Did you actually type it in? And I said, I swear to you, I've got it typed in. I've hit enter and it's run command.
Did you actually though?
No, I said, I swear I've written it. I've typed
okay.
it.
Okay.
And on the window, it says right here, error, command not found, dumbasses. And he goes, you think you're funny? And I said, no, I know I'm funny. You call the network security company with government contracts. And he goes, oh, fuck. And I went, yeah, by the way, what's it like? And I pulled up his information. I'd done some checking. I've been pulling information from him, doing reverse, basically. As
oh
he's
God.
Pulling information from me, I'm pulling information from him, and I'm giving him false information. So I've pulled up like where they are, and I'm like, by the way, just FYI, this is going to get sent to a couple of agencies because I've got some contacts there. And I know that the name of your company is this on this street. And he goes, I'm sorry. And I went, yeah, you're going to be. It was the funniest thing ever. I loved it. It was my greatest experience with this game caller. He was dedicated. That man was freaking dedicated. Best part was they called back. They called back the next day and they got my manager, and I'd already told him the story, and he calls me over and he says, hey, hold on a second, I need to put you on with someone. And he put them on speakerphone. He says, tell them what you told me. And I said, oh, hey, you guys called last night. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, yeah, I talked to so-and-so. And he goes, off. And they hung up.
At 3 a.m. though?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Alright. Alright. So now that that's what we're gonna end on tonight. We're gonna go ahead and leave it at Crazy Town. And is it really that crazy? After all, who truly is the enemy?
That's how we started.
Who is the criminal? Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you are enjoying the new and improved Into the Nerdverse with our IT and Me segments. Maddie, thank you for making an appearance on today, especially with such short notice. We hope to have
you
on again. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Whether you're listening to our live stream or our podcast, remember, we do our live streams on Sundays.
Bye, Z!
Bye, everyone. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for your continued support of Into the Nerdverse. Without you, we wouldn't be able to continue recording. If you like what you hear on our podcasts, please let us know on our Facebook page linked below. Or, to contribute to more episodes, check out our donation page at anchor.fm/ITandMe and Into the Nerdverse. For more information about our sponsors, Tech Neighbors, please visit our website at techneighbors.com, where IT support meets technology solutions.